Now, a blue sign hurtles through space toward a green planet. Letters etched into the sign read, Turner. Now, a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now, Broadway during the early 1900s. Outside a theater, a marquee reads B.F. Keith's Palace, with the names of performers glowing in bright lights. On screen, titles appear. Walter Matthau and George Burns in Neil Simon's The Sunshine Boys. This film is described by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Lisa Benjamin. Read by Rena Baskin. Funded by the United States Department of Education. Now, as if in a darkened theater, we watch a sepia-toned montage on a projection screen of old variety show acts and vaudevillian performers. Three cherubic blonde girls stand on a stage bearing a sign which announces the program for the evening. Three comics wildly play a xylophone. A performer dances beside a piano. He opens the top, leans in, and kisses the strings. Two women tap dance in short shorts and flowing tops. Three comedians hold up balls as though they were about to juggle, then drop them bouncing onto the stage. One ball knocks a comic on the head. A female acrobat runs across the stage, then leaps toward a man, wrapping her legs around his waist and hanging sideways. He flips her up and she lands on her feet. Now, comedians wearing blackface do a shuffle dance while pretending to box. More titles appear. A Ray Stark production, a Herbert Ross film. Co-starring Richard Benjamin, with Lee Meredith, Carol Arthur, Rosetta Lenoir, F. Murray Abraham, Howard Hessman, Jim Crana, Ron Rifkin, Jennifer Lee, and Fritz Feld. Music supervisor Harry V. Lojewski. Copyright 1975 by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Incorporated. Several performers sing. A poised young girl, an operatic man, a woman waving a large feathered fan, a dainty woman with a huge protruding bustle on the back of her gown, a woman dressed like a little girl, wearing big bloomers and a poofy bow, and a female quartet. More titles. Film editor John F. Burnett, ACE. Director of photography, David M. Walsh. Associate producer, Roger M. Rothstein. Screenplay by Neil Simon. Produced by Ray Stark. Directed by Herbert Ross. Wearing blackface, a singer belts out a song while the orchestra plays in the pit below the stage. Our view glides from him over the eagerly applauding audience. Now, in a color film decades later, a billboard stands empty above the abandoned Palace Theater. Nearby, a pigeon sits atop a statue's head with an inscription reading, George M. Cohan, 1878 to 1942. Give my regards to Broadway. A man in his 70s rushes by. He eyes the monument, then passes another man who turns to address him.
Hey, Willie, what are you doing downtown?
I'm working. What the hell are you doing?
He's working. He's working.
Willie continues down the busy avenue. Now we glimpse an office building with the address 354 East. Inside an ad agency, a mustached man holds a bag of potato chips.
I hate them. I hate Frumpy's potato chips so much I can't stop eating them. And I keep eating Frumpy's until I love them. Which I hope is never.
A director nods.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bradley.
Thank you.
Mr. Gilbert is next.
Right.
The actor leaves and another one approaches.
Mr. Gilbert? Yes. I mean, I think the accent could work for us. He's very involved in the business.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. Right, Gilbert, this is our director, Mr. Waltz, Mr. Blair, Mr. Ott, Miss Baker, and Miss Hall.
You saw the copy?
Yes, I looked through it.
Whenever you're ready.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I hate them. I hate Frumpy's potato chips so much, I can't stop eating them. And I'll keep on eating Frumpies till I love them, which I hope will be never.
He pretends to eat a chip.
Would you mind eating the potato chip, please?
I can't. I got gallstones.
Right. Okay. Thank you,
Willie Clark.
In the hall, a young man rushes toward the conference room.
Will you give me 5 more minutes? He's on his way. His hotel said he left 20 minutes ago.
Look, he's 40 minutes late already, Ben. If he's not here by 11, forget it.
The assistant shuts the door.
Crazy freaking old man.
Ben shakes his fists. Now Willie, tall and jowly, approaches a door with the address 354. He glances at a slip of paper in his hand, then walks through. Inside, he finds a garage, where a mechanic works underneath a station wagon.
There.
Willie lightly kicks the man's foot.
Hey. Well, what is it?
Here, Willie Clark.
If so?
Willie Clark, here.
You pick up a car?
What?
You here to pick up a car, huh?
What do I need a car for?
Then what do you want?
I'm here, the potato chips. I'm here for the potato chip commercial. Willie Clark.
What are you talking about? It's a garage.
What is this?
Let me see that.
He takes the slip.
Looks like a garage to me.
Is this the address you're looking for?
Yeah.
The Danzig Advertising Agency.
That's it.
354 East 43rd Street.
Yeah.
This is West 43rd.
What?
You want East. It's West.
This is not the agency.
But you didn't hear what I just said? This is the West side. You want the East side.
Was my nephew here, Ben Clark? He'll straighten it out. I don't handle the business.
What are you, deaf or something? So you got to go cross town. I don't make commercials. I fix transmissions.
Hey, why don't you take a look? Maybe in the back they make the commercials.
Bob, take a walk, huh? I'm very busy.
Well, it wouldn't kill you to look, would it?
East! East 43rd Street, for Christ's sake, East!
Don't get fresh with me. I got a few years on you before you get fresh with me.
Let me to a garage.
He turns to the door, but can't get it open.
Right! Turn it to the right! The right! Turn it to the right! Pull it!
Willie turns the knob and walks out. Through the half-open garage door, the mechanic spots Willie heading down the sidewalk.
The other way! East! East!
Willie crouches down to the opening.
Don't tell me I lived in New York all my life!
Back at the ad agency.
Okay, very nice. Thank you. Is that it?
That's it. There's one no-show. Willie Clark, you want to wait for him?
No, no way. Man can't remember lines. Drove me crazy last year with the cornflake. My first choice would be the guy with a crowd accent. Second,
he's
guy
here.
With a beard.
He's here. He just got here. He got held up in traffic. I told you.
Who? Uncle Willie? In here. Where are you?
You're over an hour late.
I was on time. You sent me over to a garage all the way over on the west side.
Who told you to go to the west side?
The paper here.
No, it isn't. It says East 43rd.
I didn't trust you. You're always making mistakes.
Look, Mr. Clark, I've got about 3 minutes left. Do you want to try this once?
Who's this?
This is Mr. Walsk. He's the director. Mr. Walsk, Willie Clark.
How do you do? I'm Willie Clark.
Yes, we met. You auditioned for me last year.
I don't remember that. When was that? Last year?
Yes, that was last year. Now, listen, Mr. Clark, I'm very short on time here. I literally have about 3 minutes. So if you'd like to go through the commercial once, that's about
I'm
it.
I'm
okay?
ready. I know the whole thing.
Okay,
anytime
fine,
you say.
Fine.
Just give me 10 minutes.
I don't have 10 minutes, Mr. Clark.
He's ready, Mr. Walls. Uncle Willie, you just stand right over there where everyone can see you.
There.
Where?
There is fine.
Over here?
Yes.
How about over here? The light is better here.
Don't worry about the light. We're not shooting yet. I can see you fine there.
You're the director. I just thought that maybe you'd like it better over there.
The director glares.
Give him the bag.
What's this?
It's the product, Mr. Clark. The potato chips.
Willie reaches into the bag.
You got a fresher bag? This one is soggy.
Mr. Clark, I have 3 minutes left. Now, do you want to do this or not?
He's only got 3 minutes, Uncle Willie.
I hired the man. I'm not deaf. I'm a professional. I'm ready whenever he's ready, but the bag was soggy.
Okay, Mr. Clark, I'm ready. Now, if you'll take a bite of the potato chip and read the copy.
The what?
The copy, the copy. They didn't give you the copy? You didn't give him the copy?
The lines, Uncle Willie.
Oh, the lines, certainly. Why didn't he say so? I didn't know what the hell copy was. You ready?
I'm ready. I swear to God, I'm ready. Just bite the potato chip and begin, please.
Willie picks a piece of potato chip out of his teeth. The director slumps, resting his chin on his fist.
What do I say?
Forget it. Thank you very much, Mr. Clark. Get me the guy with the beard or the crowd. Either one doesn't make any difference. Mr. Clark, a real pleasure seeing you again. Thank you very much.
Please, Mr. Waltz, as a favor to me, just let him read through the commercial one.
By the time he finishes reading, potatoes will be an endangered species.
I'm ready again. I remembered.
I don't care.
Ben pulls the director aside.
Just as a courtesy, the man was one of the biggest stars in vaudeville. He deserves that. One reading.
If the man can't work, why doesn't he retire?
Mr. Walsh, don't do this to me. Please, please, I'll pay you to let him read.
Once. Let him read through it, and that's it. I'd be damned if I'll listen.
Here, Uncle Willie, read it from this.
I don't need it. I remember the line.
Read it.
Get out, Ben. I got my own copy.
Where is it?
Huh? Where did I put it?
Here, had it. And don't stop. Just read it through once and don't stop, okay?
You don't have to tell me. I'm a professional. I'm in this business 57 years. Sends me to a garage.
Okay, Mr. Clark.
Willie takes out a chip.
I hate them. I hate Chumpy's potato chips.
Frumpies.
I hate them. I hate Frunchy's potato chips so much.
Frumpies.
Frunky's potato chips.
Frumpies. Frumpies. Can't you just say Frumpies?
If it was funny, I would say it.
Later, Ben and Willie stand in an elevator.
So what do you think?
About what?
The money. How much money you think they want to pay me?
Who?
The potato chips. I'm not doing it unless the money is right.
You think they're going to hire you? You come an hour late, you can't remember the address, you can't remember the lines?
I remembered the lines. The name of the potato chips I couldn't remember. What was it again?
Frumpies.
Say it again.
Frumpies! Frumpies!
Still can't remember it. Because it's not funny. I'm in this business 57 years, you learn a few things. You know what makes an audience laugh. You know which words are funny and which words are not funny?
You told me 100 times, Uncle Willie. Listen, I have to get to the office.
Which words are funny?
Words with a K in it are funny. I have to get to the office.
Words with a K in it are funny. You didn't know that, did you? I'll tell you which words always get a laugh.
Alka-Seltzer?
Alka-Seltzer is funny.
Chicken?
Chicken is funny.
Pickle?
Pickle is funny.
They leave the building through a revolving door.
All with a K. L's are not funny, M's are not funny.
Just K's, I know.
Cupcake is funny. Tomatoes is not funny. Lettuce is not funny.
You've explained that to me since I was 5. Look, I've got to get back to the office.
Cucumber's funny.
It's getting cold out. I'm going to give you money. I want you to take a cab.
Cab is funny.
Are you listening to me?
Cockroach is funny. Not if you get him, only if you say him.
Will you listen to me?
Hey, a little respect.
How about some respect for me? I'm a human being, too.
We'll see. You're young. You got time yet.
As Ben takes out money, his uncle walks away. The dark-haired Ben, in his 30s, shakes his head, then strolls off. A little later, Willie approaches a rundown hotel. Old furniture clutters the sidewalk several yards away. Willie enters to find a Latino desk clerk chatting on the phone.
Nah, de algo ya. No, no, es un transfer. Para otro trabajo. Please cut that out.
Can I have my mail, please?
Ay, viejo aquí, no te apures de eso. Please cut it out. How many times I have to tell you? Don't hit the bell. What's the matter con you?
Give me my mail. I won't hit the bell.
Aguanta un momento. No mail.
What do you mean, no mail?
I say no mail. What's the matter? Don't you understand English?
When you speak it, I'll understand it.
Viejo malcriado.
What's the matter con you? Chumpy. Clunky. Hate
Willie joins two women at the elevator.
Tells me over there, the Spanish kid. He tells me I have no mail. He probably stole it.
They stole my shoes last week. 3 pairs of good shoes.
Who would want your shoes? I get important mail.
The elevator door opens and all three step inside. Nighttime. In Willie's studio apartment, snapshots from the 20s, 30s, and 40s ring a mirror. Nearby, he sits up in bed dialing a telephone. Now, in Ben's darkened bedroom, his wife stirs beside him.
answer it.
It's him. 2 o'clock in the morning.
How do you know it's him?
I know. Listen to it.
Then answer the phone.
Hello?
Who's this, Ben?
What's wrong, Uncle Willie?
Is that you, Ben?
You called me, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do you know what time it is?
What?
Do you know what?
Wake the children.
Do you know what time it is?
Willie checks an old clock.
Time it is.
10:15.
10:15? Try 5 after 2.
Why should I try 5 after 2 when it's 10:15?
It's not 10:15. It's 5 after 2 in the morning.
You didn't wind your clock again today, did you? Did you?
No. So because you didn't wind your clock, I have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize. Are you sleeping now?
How could I be sleeping when I'm up talking to you?
So as long as you're up. Did you hear from the potato chips?
Yes. They said they're not interested.
Positively?
I'm sorry, Uncle Willie. I'll keep looking, I promise, but not tonight. Let's all get some sleep. I'll be up to see you Wednesday. Helen sends her love. Good night, Uncle Willie.
When are you coming up? Wednesday?
Yeah. Probably Wednesday. Good night, Willie.
All right, I won't bother you anymore. See you Wednesday. Don't forget my variety and the cigars. You listening? And tell the potato chips I turned them down. I'm not interested anymore. Hell with all of them.
Daytime. Ben meets with several executives.
As far as we're concerned, we've got a deal if you think you can deliver them.
They're both dying to work together. Nothing's come along until this that's excited them. I'll have the contract signed and on your desk by Monday.
Say anything.
Now, Willie snoozes in front of his TV. In his kitchen, steam blows out of a kettle. Waking, Willie grabs a nearby phone.
He doesn't want to admit he's done anything wrong.
Hello, who's this?
He wants to admit that he's hooked on alcohol.
Never mind, it's the tea.
Rising, he shuffles toward the kitchen. Willie wears a bathrobe and pajamas over his lanky, hunched frame. His gray hair is balding at the top.
We'll be back with General Hospital right after this brief message from Lipton Tea.
Don't worry, I'm not going anyplace.
He takes out a tea bag, puts it into a mug, and pours the hot water.
Lipton blows the whistle. You gotta have a cup of tea. Listen to Lipton whistle. Whisk, whisk, whisk. Lipton tea.
Now for part three of today's General Hospital.
Now what happened to part two? I missed part two.
In the hall, Ben approaches.
Uncle Willie, it's me.
Who's that?
What am I going to
Ben,
do?
Is that you?
Oh,
yes, Willie, it's me, Ben.
Wait a minute.
Heading to the door, Willie absentmindedly knocks out the TV plug.
Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
Wait a minute.
Willie can't get the door open. He yanks on the sliding lock.
What's wrong?
I'm locked in. The lock is broken. I'm locked in. Go down and tell the Spanish kid. Tell him in Spanish. They'll get somebody.
It's not broken. You just have to slide it out. Don't force it.
What?
Uncle Willie, do you hear me? Don't try to force. Uncle Willie, do you hear me? Don't try to force. Just slide it out. Don't force it.
Willie finally slides the lock gently.
It's open. Never mind. I fixed it myself.
You probably have to oil it.
I think I have to oil it.
I didn't think of that. Jesus. It's cold in here. Don't they ever send up any steam?
In July they send up steam. Hey, what the hell is wrong with this?
He beats the TV.
Come on, you piece of crap. Wake already.
Uncle Willie, I have to talk to you.
Lousy Japs, they lost the war. They send us their junk.
Uncle Willie, I have to talk to you. It's very important. I just came from the most exciting meeting this... What are you doing?
What?
You know the doctor said you're not supposed to smoke cigars anymore.
Smoking? Am I smoking it? Do you see smoke coming from the cigar?
But you got it in your mouth.
I'm rehearsing. I'll do the show later.
Willie reads a variety.
ABC, call me the...
How do you like that? Sal Bighton died.
Who?
Sal Bighton, songwriter. 89 years old. He went just like that from nothing.
Anyway, ABC, call
me... What kind of songs he wrote? Shit. Lady, lady, be my baby. Lady rhymes with baby. No wonder he's dead.
You put down the variety and listen to me.
I left three clients sitting in my office so I could come over here.
That makes four of us out of work. How's the children?
Oh, since when are you interested in my children? You haven't seen them in a year. You don't even remember their names.
Millie and Sydney.
Amanda and Michael.
What's the matter? You didn't like Millie and Sydney?
You forgot, so you made something up. You forget everything, like buying fresh food. Listen, ABC...
Do they know who I am? What a great star I was?
Who?
Amanda and Sipke.
Amanda and Michael. They're 3 years old, Uncle Willie. They don't remember vaudeville. Abe... Why is it I only get aggravated when I come over here to see you?
You what? I'll meet you someplace else.
Is that supposed to be funny? I don't think that's funny, Uncle Willie.
If you had a sense of humor, you'd think it was funny.
I have a terrific sense of humor.
Like your father, he laughed once in 1932. Why couldn't you get me this commercial?
Squeezing paper towels.
You forgot you auditioned? You kept calling it toilet paper. Will you listen to me, please? Please listen to me.
I heard. You got a call from NBC.
ABC!
Same thing.
ABC is doing a big television special next month. It's an hour and a half variety show, having some of the biggest names in show business. The theme of the show is the history of comedy, dating from Greek theater through vaudeville right up to today's stars.
What's the theme of the show?
The theme of the show is the history of comedy, dating from Greek theater through vaudeville right up to today's stars.
Why couldn't you get me on that show?
I got you on that show.
Alone?
$10,000.
Alone?
Going to be the biggest show of the year.
Alone?
No.
With Lewis?
Yes.
Then you ain't got me on the show.
Will you let me finish?
You finish the snow.
Can't we discuss it?
Through discussing it, I'm busy.
Doing what?
Not discussing it.
You can have the courtesy.
Ben follows Willie into the bathroom.
You can have the courtesy of hearing me out. ABC said to me that the history of comedy would not be complete unless they included one of the greatest teams to ever come out of vaudeville. Lewis and Clark, the Sunshine Boys. The vice president said this to me in his office.
The vice president said that?
Yes, yes. He's the greatest Lewis and Clark fan in the country since he was a kid. He knows by heart all of your old routines.
Then let him go on with that bastard.
One shot. One night you do one of the old sketches. They pay $10,000 for the team. That's top money for these shows, I promise you.
I don't need any money. I live alone. I got two nice suits. I don't have a pussycat to bother me. I'm very happy.
You're not happy. You're miserable.
Get me a job. I won't be so miserable.
I've tried. Nobody's worked harder for a client than I have.
Look, you're a nice boy. You come to visit me every Wednesday. You bring me lousy soups, which I don't eat. You're a wonderful nephew, but you're a lousy agent.
I'm a good agent, damn it. Don't say that to me, Uncle Willie. I'm a goddamn good agent. Getting chest pains. You give me chest pains, Uncle Willie.
It's my fault you get excited.
Yes! I only get chest pains on Wednesdays.
So, come on Tuesdays.
You know what? I'm going. I don't even want to discuss this with you anymore. You're impossible to talk to. Forget the variety show.
I forgot it.
I'll tell you the truth, Uncle Willie. Maybe you'd be better off with another agent.
I accept your offer.
Don't call me anymore, will you please? Not for business. And your own affairs, okay? From now on, you're just my uncle.
Take care of yourself. Say hello to Millie and Phyllis.
Ben strides out. Muttering to himself, he heads down the hall. Suddenly, he turns back and raises his fist to knock on Willie's door.
It's still no!
Ben shakes his fist and marches off. Nighttime. Ben sits on his bed, dialing a number.
What's wrong? Who are you calling? Ben, it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Willie is up reading Variety.
Why won't you do this for me?
Who's that, Ben?
I'm not asking you to be partners again, but it's just for one night, one last show. Once you get an exposure like this, Alka-Seltzer will come begging me to sign you up. Jesus, how is it going to look if I go into the office tomorrow and tell them I couldn't make a deal with my own uncle?
My personal opinion, lousy.
He goes back to reading. Daytime. Ben climbs out of a cab just as Willie leaves his hotel.
Uncle Willie!
Willie turns around and rushes back inside.
Wait a minute!
Ben pays the driver and goes after his uncle, who hustles through the lobby.
Willie!
Willie Clark! Willie! Don't make me crazy today. Willie? Willie, will you please stop away from me?
Who are you?
Ben follows him through a side exit.
Willie, you cut. Willie!
He catches up.
Where are you going?
You know, a new musical went into rehearsal today, and I didn't get an audition. Why didn't I get an audition?
Because the show is all black, and you're not black.
I did black in 1928, and when I did black, you understood the words, not like today.
I spoke to Al Lewis's daughter on the phone today, and he's very interested, Willie.
What does he know? He's senile.
You really hate Al Lewis that much?
I don't discuss that question anymore.
We have to discuss it. ABC is waiting for an answer.
Ben, this is it.
This is what?
CBS. This is where we did the Ed Sullivan Show. 6 times they had us back, not including reruns.
I remember. I saw you. I was here the night you did the doctor's sketch. It was terrific.
It wasn't.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't terrific. It was a classic. On the nights we were lousy, it was terrific.
Then why won't you work with them again for one night?
Because of artistic differences.
What artistic differences?
I hate the son of a bitch. That's what artistic differences.
Come on, I'll buy you lunch.
I had lunch.
Maybe you ate, but you didn't have lunch. And here you have lunch.
They enter a deli.
Hello, Tiny. How are you?
When was the last time you saw Al Lewis?
11 years ago. I'm not discussing this.
Sam.
A waiter comes over.
Sam, say hello to my nephew. If he was your agent, you wouldn't be waiting.
Hello, nephew.
Hello, Sam.
Bring us 2 Sophie Tuckers and 2 cream sodas.
I'm not eating anything.
Bring it. I'll take his home in a bag.
You mean to tell me you haven't spoken to Al Lewis in 11 years?
I haven't seen him in 11 years. I haven't spoken to him in 12 years. You know, they still got a sandwich here named after me? Look at this, a number 5 combination, tongue, hot pastrami, salami, coleslaw, Russian dressing, a Willie Clark special. That's a star.
You mean you didn't speak to him for a whole year? What about on stage?
If he played a gypsy, I would speak to the gypsy. If he played a lunatic, I would speak to the lunatic. But that bastard, I didn't speak to.
Hey, you're not supposed to eat pickles. It's high sodium.
I'll spit out the sodium.
The waiter brings their sandwiches. Later, at a shoe shine.
Thank you.
Just tell me what's wrong with Al Lewis. He seemed nice enough when I met him.
Did you ever meet him?
I just said I did. I was 13 years old. It was backstage at some benefit. I forget the theater. He was very sweet to me.
Maybe he thought you were a midget. He loved midgets, but people he hated, especially partners. Hey, just the shoes, not the socks, please.
Why? What did he do that bothered you so much?
What did he do? He used to give me the finger.
The what?
The finger. He would poke me in the chest with the finger. I'm telling you, doctor. You know what I mean, doctor? You hear what I'm saying, doctor? That hurts, doesn't it?
Yes.
43 years, how would you like that? I had a black and blue hole in my chest. So her dying day, my wife thought it was a tattoo over there.
If you work with him again, I'll buy you a thick padded undershirt.
You think I never tried that? One night, I put a steel plate under my shirt. He gave me the finger. He had it in a splint for a month.
At the Friars Club.
Willie, what if I set up a meeting between you two, maybe lunch at Sardi's, to talk things out? I'll be there the whole time.
You want to hear other things? He used to spit in my face. On stage, the man would spit in my face.
Not on purpose.
He tells me not on purpose. If I could have saved the spit, I would show it to you.
You mean he would just stand there and spit in your face?
What do you think, he's stupid? He would work it into the act. He would stand with his nose under my nose, and he would purposely say words only that began with a T. Tootsie Roll. Pinkatoy. Typing on the typewriter.
Please sign in your guest, sir.
He's not my guest. He's my nephew. Some nights I thought I would drown. I don't know where he got it all from. I think he would drink all day and save it up for the night. Don't put this near the steam. It's corned beef.
What if I put
He gives his wrapped sandwich to a coat check clerk.
You. He doesn't get paid.
He doesn't? Yeah, he would spit at me for free.
Then will you answer me one question? If it was all that bad, why did you stick together for 43 years?
Why?
Yes, why?
Because he was terrific. There'll never be another one like him. Nobody could time a joke the way he could time a joke. Nobody could say a line the way he said it. I knew what he was thinking. He knew what I was thinking. One person, that's what we were. Oh, no. Al Lewis was the best. The best. You understand?
I understand.
As an actor, no one could touch him. As a human being, no one wanted to touch him.
Uncle Willie, people do change. You know his wife died 3 years ago? He lives with his daughter now, somewhere in New Jersey. He doesn't do anything anymore. He's got very bad arthritis. He's got poor blood circulation.
I'll send him a pump. He'll outlive you, believe me.
I spoke to his daughter. He wants very much to do this show, Uncle Willie.
With arthritis? Forget it. Instead of a finger, he'll poke me with a cane.
What if I went out to New Jersey and spoke to him?
Shh.
Explain how you felt. See if we could work things out. Uncle Willie, do I have your permission to go and speak to him?
Go speak to him.
Thank you.
But take a towel with you. Oh, I'm sorry.
He waves to the silent club members who sit playing cards and pats one on the shoulder. Later, Ben drives down a suburban block, parking in front of a large white house. A moment later, a woman with a bobbed haircut wearing jeans and a sweater opens the door.
Mr. Clark?
I'm sorry I'm late. I got off the wrong exit.
Come in. Dad just got up from his nap. He's out in the sunroom. He likes to be up when the children get home from school.
Mrs. Green, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How is his health? I mean, is he up to doing the show if it all works out?
I think it would be the best thing in the world for him. And he takes very good care of himself. He's just a little slow, that's all.
What do you mean, slow?
He doesn't like to be rushed. He lets the phone ring 8 or 9 times before answering it. He'll take an hour before he opens a letter. He was always like that, just the opposite of Willie. I always wondered how they put up with each other. Dad, Mr. Clark is here.
They step into the sunroom.
Dad, it's Mr. Clark. He's here.
What?
It's Ben Clark, Willie's nephew.
Willie's nephew?
Mm.
Ben goes over to the bespectacled Al.
How do you do, Mr. Lewis? I'm Ben Clark, Willie's nephew.
Oh, Willie's nephew, Ben. Sure, hello. How are you?
Fine, sir.
Good. Willie's nephew. Ben, how are you?
Fine, sir. Very good. It was nice of you to see me.
Really? When was that?
Today. It was nice of you to see me today.
Certainly. Today is fine. As a matter of fact, I was expecting you today.
Please sit down, Mr. Clark.
Why doesn't he sit down?
Thank you very much.
Can I get you anything before I go?
No, thanks. I have lunch before I drove out.
Well, then I'll leave you two alone. I'll be in the kitchen if you need me.
Thank you.
Can my daughter get you anything?
No, I had lunch before I drove out.
Oh? What did you have?
What did I have?
For lunch.
Chicken salad sandwich and a cup of coffee.
I had a fruit compote and cottage cheese. Can you stay a while? My grandchildren will be home from school soon. Wendy and Mark.
Yes, if I can. You know, we met before. A long time ago, my father took me backstage. I forget the theater. Must have been 15 or 20 years ago. Do you remember that?
Oh, certainly. It was backstage. Maybe 15, 20 years ago. I forget the theater.
That's right.
Sure, I remember. Haven't had chicken salad in years.
So, Mr. Lewis, you must be very excited. I know I am.
About what?
About working again, doing the old act with Uncle Willie.
I did it over 11,000 times. 11,001 doesn't get me excited.
Well, I can tell you, ABC is very excited.
Well, we'll see. How much did you say they were going to pay?
$10,000 for the team.
That's $5,000 apiece, isn't it?
That's what it comes to, yes.
I don't have an agent anymore. Died. I don't pay commission, you know.
Certainly, I understand.
I don't mind buying you a little gift, but no commission.
It's okay, really. Then you agree. You're willing to do the show with Uncle Willie.
He hates my guts, you know.
No, he never said that to me.
What?
He never said that to me.
How old are you?
Why?
I'd like to say something. How old are you?
I'm 33.
He called me a son of a bitch bastard. The kids aren't home yet, are they?
I don't think so.
Son of a bitch bastard. Because I retired. I just didn't feel like doing the act anymore. 47 years is enough, isn't it?
Certainly.
What?
Certainly.
Certainly. 11,000 times the same jokes. Was I wrong for doing what I did?
Absolutely not.
What?
Absolutely not.
So why does he say such things about me? I don't hate him.
I'm glad to hear that.
I can't stand him, but I don't hate him.
He doesn't hate you either. I guess he was just a little upset about breaking up the team after all those wonderful years. That's understandable, isn't it?
No.
Well, anyway, I'm sure once you two see each other again...
What did you say? $5,000 apiece? I don't pay commission, you know.
Yes.
My agent died.
Yeah, you told me.
And they weren't such wonderful years. Someday I'll tell you.
I'd love to hear all about how you and
Uncle... Sure, I remember. It was backstage, maybe 15, 20 years ago. I forget the theater.
Ben blinks, shaking his head in disbelief. Later, he enters the club where Willie plays gin with other retired men.
Why didn't you leave a message where you're going to be? I looked everywhere. You purposely went out, didn't you, so we wouldn't have to talk about it.
I'll be at the Friars Club playing cards.
No kidding. Can I please speak to you for a minute?
Where's your manners? Don't you say hello? This is Arthur Marks, a great young singer, and this is Benny Friedman, a terrific new comic.
Hello. How do you do?
How do you do? Now, can we talk, please?
Did you pick up a three of hearts?
He wants to do it. He's agreed to everything. The money, the dates, the doctor's sketch. He even agreed to come in from New Jersey to rehearse in your hotel, and he was as sweet as he can be. Now, he's waiting for me to call him back to tell him what time to come in, and then I have to call ABC and tell them we have a deal, okay? Uncle Willie, are you listening to me?
I knock with five.
ABC is waiting.
Watch their rush. What are they, going out of business?
I'm calling him. I'm telling Aldo.
Wait a minute. I don't trust him. He'll rehearse with me all week, and then he'll walk out just before the show. That's what he did the last time, the bastard.
He's not going to walk out.
On the Ed Sullivan show, he walked out on me and retires right in the middle of my career.
A man has a right to retire whenever he wants to.
Yes, but I wasn't ready yet. Anyway, he's sick now. You told me he's got everything wrong with him.
He's well enough to remember his grandchildren's names. It's ringing.
60-40. All right, 60-40. I get 6,000, he gets 4. What the hell can he buy in New Jersey anyway?
It's going to be all right, I promise you, Willie.
Tell him I'm against it. I want him to know I'll do the show with him against it.
Oh, he's got to be home. I told him I would call.
Sure, you know what he's doing? He's practicing spitting.
Hello, hello, Mr. Lewis. It's Ben again. Ben, Willie Clark's nephew.
He forgot already. He's got arthritis of the head.
It's okay, Mr. Lewis. Willie said yes.
Yes, with and against it.
No, he's very anxious to do it.
Who's anxious? Tell him I'm against it. Damn your nephew, lousy nephew.
Monday at his hotel. How's 11 o'clock? What is it, a two-hour drive?
Make it 9 o'clock. 9.
No. That's the television set. Will you shut up?
He shuts the phone booth door.
All right. Listen to me. Listen. If he spits or he pokes, I'm taking him to court. You hear me? I'm taking him to court.
Willie opens the door.
Hey! Hey!
One spit or poke, and I'm going to take him to court.
Ben shuts the door.
10 to 20 years for a spit in the face. Tell him.
And then get off. Go on to the west side highway and get off at 96th Street.
Thunder!
96th Street. And then go down Broadway to 74th Street, the Ansonia Hotel. Ben. Ben Clark. Willie Clark's nephew. My God, they're both the same.
I'm going back to the game.
On Monday, Al's daughter drives him into Manhattan.
Are you nervous?
Me? Nervous? Why should I be nervous?
What time do you want me to pick you up?
Call me. Every hour on the hour.
Now, Willie stares out of his apartment window. In the street below, a taxi pulls up and Ben hops out. Flashing a smile, the young man glances up at his uncle, who quickly turns away. Willie, dressed in a shirt, neatly tied tie, and sports jacket, still has on his pajama pants. He rushes to the phone.
Hello? Hello, is this the Spanish kid? Willie Clark. Listen, don't tell my nephew that I'm home. No enchilada. No, yeah, tell him I went out. I'm out. I'm not here. You understand? I'm not here. Wait. Who's that?
Uncle Willie, it's Ben.
He's here. Never mind, idiot.
Uncle Willie.
Ben, is that you?
Yes, open up.
Wait a minute.
He shuffles over to the door.
You're alone or he's with you?
I'm alone.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Wait a minute.
Willie tries to open the door.
Slide it. Don't push it.
Wait a minute. I'll push it.
Don't push it. Slide it.
Slide it.
Willie slides the lock, then opens the door.
No, I think you're supposed to slide it.
Oh, rush like crazy. I didn't want him getting hit before me. Did he call or anything?
Who?
Now, outside.
So far too close. It's filthy here.
You want me to go in with you?
No. Just wait till I get to the lobby. Probably get mugged.
As Al steps out, his daughter hands him a walking cane. In his 80s, Al is short with a small build and balding white hair. Upstairs, Ben speeds around the messy apartment, straightening up. He dumps a plate of food into a bag. Willie, still dressed in pajama pants, stares out the window.
He's late. He's purposely coming late to aggravate me.
He's not late. It's 2 minutes after 11.
So what, is he early? I'm telling you, he's late. I was up at 8 o'clock in the morning and dressed.
You call that dressed? You're half dressed.
So for him, I should get all dressed.
He puts on pants.
Why didn't you shave?
Get me to shit commercial, I'll shave. I think I got hepatitis. Here, look. Look how green I look.
I wonder if I should call him. Maybe he's sick.
Oh, him you believe he's sick, but me you don't believe. Maybe you should become his nephew.
Will you stop it, Uncle Willie? Will you just stop it and behave yourself?
What do you mean, behave yourself? Who do you think you're talking to, Susan and Jackie?
Amanda and Jackie. Michael, I wish I were. I can reason with... Bring chest pains on Monday. That's him. You want me to get it?
Get what? I didn't hear anything.
I think it would be a nice gesture, Uncle Willie, if you opened the door. Please, you promised me you'd give it a chance.
I'll give it every possible chance in the world, but it's not going to work.
Willie starts towards the door, then suddenly freezes and backtracks. He steps forward, then back, then forward. Turning, he zips into the kitchen.
Where are you going?
To make some tea. I feel like some hot tea.
Now!
Willie closes the double doors leading into the kitchen. Ben rushes to answer the front door.
Hello, Mr. Lewis. How are you?
Hello. How are you? I'm Al Lewis.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Come on in.
Al steps inside, warily looking around.
Uncle Willie is making some tea. Please, sit down.
Al picks a piece of matzah off a chair, drops it back down, then brushes crumbs off the corner of a desk and leans on it.
Thank you very much.
Did you have any trouble getting in from Jersey?
My daughter drove me in. She has a car.
Oh, that's nice.
1973 Chrysler. The Imperial.
Oh, yes, it's a wonderful car.
It's a good car.
Do you get into New York often?
Today is the first time in 2 years.
Oh, really? Well, how did you find it?
My daughter drove.
Right.
Uncle Willie, how are we doing?
He peers into the kitchen.
It's not boiling yet. Would you care for any tea, Mr. Lewis?
Tea would be nice, thank you.
Mr. Lewis would like tea, too.
I only got one bowl.
Well, dunk twice.
May I take your coat, Mr. Lewis?
We'll see. Maybe later.
Al rises and starts to look around. The room is cluttered with pictures and knickknacks.
Do you have any questions you want to ask about the show? About the studio or rehearsals or the air date, things like that?
Like what?
Like the studio, or the rehearsals, or the air date, things like that.
Have you got the props?
What props are those?
The props for the doctor sketch. You gotta have props.
Oh, props, certainly. What do you need? I'll tell them.
He takes out a pad.
You need a desk, a telephone, a pointer, a blackboard, some white chalk, some red chalk, a skeleton, not too tall, a stethoscope, a thermometer, an R stick.
Wait a minute. What's an R stick?
To put in your mouth to say R.
Oh, right. An R stick.
A bottle of pills.
Mm-hmm.
Big ones, like for a horse.
About this big?
No, that's for a pony. For a horse, it's like this.
His fist.
Some bandages, some cotton, an eye chart.
Wait a minute. You're going too fast.
A desk. A telephone. a pointer.
I got all that. I mean, after the cotton and the eye chart.
A man's suit, size 38, like the one I'm wearing. Usually they let me keep it.
Also in blue?
Who needs two blue suits? Get me a brown.
A brown suit?
A brown suit.
Is that all?
That's all. And a blonde.
You mean a woman?
You know a blonde is? That's a man. Big as you can find, with a big chest. A 40, a 45, and a nice bottom.
You mean a sexy girl with a full round rear end?
Like this. This is too small, and this is too big. Like this is perfect.
I know what you mean.
If you bring me some pictures, I'll pick one out.
Oh, there are a million girls like that around. Oh, 11:15, I've got to go. Uncle Willie, I'm going. Mr. Lewis, I can't express to you enough how happy I am. And speaking for the millions of young people in this country who never had the opportunity of seeing Lewis and Clark work, I just want to say thank you to both of you. To the both of you, Uncle Willie!
I just hope they won't be disappointed.
Oh, they won't.
I know they won't. I'm just saying it.
Ben opens up the doors leading into the kitchen.
Goodbye, Uncle Willie. I'm going.
I'll show you the elevator.
I know where it is.
Willie tries to grab Ben's jacket.
I'll call you tonight. I just want to say that this is a very happy moment for me. To see you both together again. Reunited. The two kings of comedy. I'm sure you're both very excited. Well, it looks like we're off to a great start. I'll call you later. Goodbye.
He can't get the door open. Willie throws him a look.
Have to slide it.
It opens and he leaves. Willie turns to Al, who's seated on the sofa. Al eyes him, calmly gripping his walking cane. Willie's jowly face tightens as he glares at his ex-partner.
What do you want, tea?
Yes, thanks.
As Al continues to sit, still wearing his black overcoat and hat, Willie ambles back into the kitchen. He picks up two teacups with spoons on saucers and brings them into the main room. Willie plops one in front of Al. Then gently puts his own down and sits across from him in a leather recliner. Without looking up, he dunks a tea bag into his cup, then reaches across and drops it into Al's. Picking up his spoon, he starts to stir.
Sugar?
If you got.
I got sugar.
He sets his cup down and rises. His suspenders hang down over his rump as he shuffles to a table and picks up a bowl. He brings it over and sets it down, taking out one lump. Al also takes a lump, carefully drops it into his teacup, and removes the bag. Willie sits and nibbles on his lump of sugar.
You like a cracker?
What kind of cracker?
Chocolate, coconut, graham, whatever you want.
Maybe just a plain cracker.
I don't have any plain crackers. I got chocolate, coconut, and graham.
All right, a graham cracker.
They're in the kitchen in the closet.
Maybe later.
Both sip their tea.
I was sorry to hear about Lillian.
Thank you.
She was a nice woman. I always liked Lillian.
Thank you.
And how about you?
Thank God. Knock wood. Perfect.
I heard different. I heard your blood didn't circulate.
Not true. My blood circulates. I'm not saying everywhere, but it circulates.
I've been lucky. I'm in the pink.
I was looking. For a minute, I thought you were having a hot flush.
Willie sneers. He continues to nibble his cube, then takes another sip of tea. Al does, too.
Want some nuts?
No, thanks. Not allowed to eat nuts. Too salty.
You know Saul Biden died.
Go on.
Al shifts his gaze with a thoughtful expression.
Who's Saul Biden?
You don't remember Saul Biden?
Oh, yes. The manager of the Belasco Theater.
That was Saul Bernstein.
Not Saul Bernstein. Saul Burton was the manager of the Belasco Theater.
Saul Bernstein was the manager of the Belasco Theater, and it wasn't the Belasco Theater, it was the Marasco Theater.
Sid Weinstein was the manager of the Marasco. Saul Burton was the manager of the Belasco. Saul Bernstein, I don't know who the hell was.
How can you remember anything if your blood don't circulate?
It circulates in my head. It doesn't circulate in my feet.
Is anything coming down?
Wait a minute, wasn't Sid Weinstein that lousy songwriter who wrote Lady, Lady, Be My Baby?
No, for Christ's sake, that's Saul Biden.
Oh, that's Saul Biden? He died?
Last week.
Where?
In Variety.
With a nod, Al takes another sip of tea, then sets down his cup.
So, this is where you live now?
Didn't I always live here?
Not in here. You lived in the big suite.
This is the big suite, but they cut it up into five small suites.
I have a beautiful room with my daughter in New Jersey.
You live in your daughter's room?
In her house. I have my own room, my own toilet. They don't bother me. I don't bother them.
What is it, in the country?
Certainly it's in the country. Where did you think New Jersey was, in the city?
Willie finishes his tea, then rises and starts to light a cigar.
So? What do you think? Want to do the doctor's sketch?
Well, listen, it's very good money. It's only a few days' work, and I can be back in New Jersey. If you feel you want to do it, then I'm agreeable.
And they told you how I feel about it?
What?
I'm against it. But if you want, I'll do it.
What do you mean you're against it? If you're against it, don't do it.
Why do you care if I'm against it? As long as we're doing it, I just want you to know why I'm doing it.
Well, don't do me any favors.
Who's doing you a favor? I'm doing my nephew a favor. It'll be a big break for the kid to get a couple of big stars like us.
Oh, that's different. And in that case, I'm against it too, but I'll do it.
As long as we understand each other.
I want to be sure you know that I'm not doing it for the money. The money goes to my grandchildren.
The whole thing?
The whole thing. But not now. Only if I die. If I don't die, it'll be for my old age.
The same with me.
You haven't got grandchildren.
My nephew's children, Sidney and Mervyn. Do you want to rehearse the sketch or not? What?
You're not against rehearsing?
I'm against doing the show. Rehearsing is important.
All right, let's rehearse. Why don't we move the furniture on and make the set?
He places his cane on a chair, then takes off his hat, coat, and scarf and puts them beside his cane. Willie pulls out a chair with a wooden back and upholstered seat. He sets it in the middle of the room. As he goes over to get a floor lamp, Al brushes crumbs off Willie's chair, then puts it back in its place. While Al gets a small tray table, Willie brings the lamp over, then pulls his chair out, putting it back in the center of the room. As he positions it carefully beside the small table, Al takes away Willie's lamp. Next, Al brings a second chair over and puts it down on the other side of the table. He eyes Willie's chair. It's turned in the opposite direction. Meanwhile, Willie finds the floor lamp, brings it back over, and sets it down. He also eyes the two chairs. As he turns one around, Al turns the other. They're still facing in opposite directions.
Wait a minute. What the hell are we doing here?
I'm fixing up the set. I don't know what you're doing.
You're fixing up the set.
That's right.
You're fixing up the set for the doctor sketch?
Dr. Sketch.
As Al takes the lamp away, Willie shifts both chairs. They're still facing in opposite directions. While Willie goes to get the lamp back, Al turns the chairs again.
Wait a minute! God damn it! We're doing the same damn thing! Are we fixing up for the Dr. Sketch, or are you redecorating my apartment?
I know what I'm doing. I did this sketch for 43 years.
And what was I doing all that time? Taking a smoke?
Can we please fix up for the doctor's sketch? My clothes are beginning to stink from this apartment.
All right. If you think you know how to fix it up, You fix it up. It'll be my pleasure.
Al takes Willie's lamp away for the third time, then turns one of the chairs toward the table.
There. That's the doctor sketch.
For how much? That's the gypsy chiropractor sketch.
You're positive?
I'm more than positive, I'm sure.
All right, wise guy, show me the doctor sketch.
Willie checks out the two chairs and table for a moment, then brings the lamp just an inch closer.
There. That's the doctor sketch.
You know what you are, Willie? You're a 73-year-old putz.
Right. Only the putz didn't drive in all the way from New Jersey.
I didn't drive. My daughter did. Now, can we please rehearse the sketch?
All right, go outside. I'm here in the doctor's office.
Gonna do the part with the nurse first.
Do you see a nurse here? How can I rehearse with a nurse that's not here?
Don't ask me. I'm a putz.
Let's forget the nurse. Start with the part where I'm in the office and you come in.
All right, I'll start from where I come in. Knock, knock, knock. I'm looking for the doctor.
First, go outside.
I could be home playing solitaire now. All right, I'm outside. Knock, knock.
Wait a minute. You're not outside the door. Go out the door.
We're just rehearsing. Can't you make believe that I'm outside the door?
Sure, if you were a better actor.
Sorry my daughter ever bought that car. Listen, we're not going to stop for every little thing, are we? I don't know how many years I got left. I don't want to spend them rehearsing.
We're not going to stop for the little things. We're going to stop for the stupid things. Not going out the door is a stupid thing.
Coming here in the first place was the stupid thing. All right, I'm going out. If I'm outside, my daughter calls. Tell her to pick me up in 20 minutes.
I'll pick you up now for all I care.
Al steps into the hallway.
All right, give me a knock, knock, knock.
Knock, knock, knock.
Don't say it! For God's sake, do it!
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Give me a knock, knock, knock. Come in.
Al tries the door. It's stuck.
Come in already.
It doesn't open. It's stuck.
All right, wait a minute.
Willie goes over to the door.
Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
Wait a minute.
Is it locked?
Not locked. Wait a minute.
He struggles with the sliding lock.
It's locked. Go downstairs and get somebody. Get the Spanish kid downstairs. Tell him it's locked.
What'd you say?
Go down and get somebody, for Christ's sake. Don't you understand English?
Don't you yell at me. I didn't lock the door.
Silently.
He opens the door to yell at him.
You're wasting time. Go down and get somebody.
It's open. What's the matter with you?
It's open from my side. You locked your... All right, come in already. Come in.
Did my daughter call?
You know, I think you went a little crazy in the country.
You want to stand here and insult me, or do you want to rise the sketch?
I would like to do both, but we ain't got the time. All right, forget about the door. Just stand there and say knock, knock, knock.
I hope I can get out again.
I hope so, too. Knock, knock, knock.
Knock, knock, knock.
Enter!
What do you mean, enter? What happened to come in?
It's the same thing, isn't it? Enter or come in, what's the difference as long as you're in?
The difference is we've done this sketch 11,000 times, and you always said come in. Suddenly, today it's enter. Why today, after all these years, do you suddenly change it to enter?
I'm trying to freshen up the act.
Who asked you to freshen up the act? They asked for the doctor sketch, didn't they? The doctor sketch starts with come in and not enter. You want to freshen up something? Put some flowers in here.
What's bad about enter instead of come in?
Because it's different. You know why we've been doing it the same way for 43 years? Because it's good.
And you know why we don't do it anymore? Because we've been doing it for 43 years.
If we're not doing it anymore, why are we changing it?
You know what's wrong with you, Lewis? You've been sitting on a New Jersey porch for too long. You're out of touch. From my window here, I see everything that's going on in the world. Here. I see old people. I see young people. Nice people. Bad people. I see holdups. I see drug addicts. Ambulances. Car crashes. Jumpers from buildings. I see everything. You see a lawnmower and the milkman.
That's why you want to say enter instead of come in?
Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me?
Why, there's someone else in the room.
You don't know the first thing that's going on today. Did you ever hear the expression, that's where it's at? Well, this is where it's at, and that's where I am.
I see. Did you ever hear the expression, you don't know what the hell you're talking about? It comes right in front of the other expression, you never knew what the hell you were talking about.
I wasn't the one who retired. You're the one who retired because you were tired. Because you're old-fashioned, I'm still new-fashioned. I'm still in demand. I'm still hot.
He does a little dance step.
If this room was on fire, you wouldn't be hot.
Look, I don't want to argue with you. After you say knock, 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 I'm going to say enter. If you don't like it, you don't have to come in.
If you say enter after I say knock, 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 I'm coming in all right, but not alone. I'm bringing a lawyer with me.
From where? From New Jersey? You're lucky if a cow comes in with you.
Against you in court, I could win with a cow.
He pokes him.
The finger? You're starting with the finger again?
He grabs a knife.
With a knife? Are you crazy?
Next time you give me the finger, say goodbye to the finger.
I got a terrific idea. Instead of working together again, let's never work together again. I'm crazy.
I'm crazy. Huh? I'm crazy?
Keep saying it until you believe it.
Willie steps onto the sofa, lunging feebly at Al, and slips.
I may be crazy, but you know what you are? You're senile. You know what senile is?
I'm not giving you any straight lines.
Get away! Get away from that phone!
Lunatic.
Hello? How are you? What?
Is that my daughter?
Will you shut up?
Is that my daughter?
Will you keep quiet? Can't you see I'm talking? Don't you see me on the phone with a person? For God's sakes, will you behave like a human being for 5 seconds? For 5 seconds, behave like a human being! Hello? Just a minute. It's your daughter.
He gives Al the phone.
Hello. Hello, sweetheart. No. No. I can't talk to you now. I said I can't talk to you. Because he's a crazy bedbug, that's why.
I'm a bedbug. I'm a bedbug.
See what I mean?
Your father is sick. Come and get your sick father.
Will you shut up? Will you behave yourself? For God's sakes, behave yourself. Doris, I want you to pick me up now. I don't want to discuss it. Pick me up now. He pulled a knife on me. A kitchen knife. It was still dirty from breakfast. All right, just a minute. She wants to talk to you. She's across the street.
Who is it?
Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt. What do you mean, who is it? Didn't you just say it's my daughter?
I know it's your daughter, but I forgot her name.
Doris.
What does she want?
Am I Doris? She'll tell you.
Hello? How are you, dear? It's Willie Clark. Yeah, unpleasantness. No, there was no unpleasantness. There was stupidity. But there was no unpleasantness.
Tell her I'm getting into my coat. Tell her I got one sleeve on.
I was hoping it would work out, too. I bent over backwards and forwards. He didn't even bend sideways.
I got the other sleeve on. Tell her I'm up to my hat and I'm out the door.
It's only a question of one way, darling. Enter. That's all it comes down to.
The hat's on. I'm bundled up. Tell her.
All right. Yes, I will. I'll tell him. I promise I'll tell him myself. Goodbye, Dorothy. I told her we'll give it one last chance.
Not if you say enter. Come in, I stay. Enter, I go.
Ask me knock, knock, knock.
Don't fool around with me. I got enough pains in my neck. Are you going to say come in?
Ask me knock, knock, knock.
I know you, you bastard.
Ask me knock, knock, knock.
Knock, knock, knock.
Enter!
Bedbug. Crazy bedbug.
Enter!
Drop dead in the hallway, you crazy bastard.
Enter!
Lunatic! Start the car.
Outside.
Just start the car.
Are you all right?
Start the car.
Dad, what happened? What's the matter?
Just start the car.
Okay, but what's happened? What's the matter? You're all excited.
Didn't I tell you to start the car?
I know, but what happened? You said...
That's what happened.
Willie stands on his balcony, staring down at them. Now at Ben's office.
A pointer.
He talks on the phone as a secretary puts lunch on his desk.
Not too tall. Just get what I tell you, will you?
No turkey. I got your chicken salad.
I had it yesterday.
You're having it again today. Lester Burns of ABC is on two.
Jay, I'll call you back. Lester, how are you? Yes, this morning. I just left them. Sensational. I watched them rehearse about 20 minutes. I was hysterical. I swear the tears are rolling down my eyes, but I'll tell you less. What was even more important, it was so touching. I mean, these men still love each other after all these years. I wish you could have seen.
Your uncle on three sounds like trouble.
Les, could you hold it 1 second? What is it, Willie? Never mind, just tell me what happened. Yeah? And then? And what? Oh, shit. Hold it, Uncle Willie. Les, could I call you right back? Uncle Willie, didn't you promise... Don't you hang up on me!
He drops the phone, then collapses across his desk. Later, Ben drives up to Doris's house, parks in front, and hops out. Rushing to the door, he clutches his chest, then presses the doorbell. Doris answers.
I told you on the phone it was pointless to drive out here. My father won't discuss it anymore.
Can I just come in for a minute?
Dad is sleeping. I don't want to wake him.
What if they didn't have to rehearse anymore? They know the sketch. All your father has to do is come in Friday to the studio for a technical. They don't even have to speak to each other.
I have to do what he asks me, Mr. Clark. He is my father. Maybe if you call back tonight. I'm sorry.
I can't wait till tonight. ABC has to have a signed contract on the desk by 5 o'clock. Let me in.
Mr. Clark, vaudeville is dead. Thank God my father isn't.
Ben sneaks up to a window and peers inside where Al sleeps in a chair. Al stirs.
Hello, Mr. Lewis. Can I please speak to you for a minute?
What?
Can I speak to you for a minute?
What?
Ben points to himself, gestures for Al to raise the window, and makes a talking motion with his hand.
What the hell is he saying?
Ben takes out a pad and pen and jots down a note. Wearing a robe and cap, Al eyes him curiously. Ben places his note up to the glass. It reads, "Please open window. I want to talk to you." Pointing to the note, he mouths the words. Al rises, goes over to the window, and opens it a crack. Ben kneels down to the small opening.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Can you hear me?
No.
Could you open the window a little more? I'm down on my knees here.
It's freezing in here.
Out here, too. Could I come in? I'll only stay a minute, I swear.
Not if it's about the show. Don't lie to me.
It's about the show.
Freeze.
Wait! He won't say enter. He'll say come in. He promised me.
You believe him?
Yes.
Then you're a bigger putz than I am.
Wait! No! No! Wait, no more rehearsals. Just one technical the day before the show. You don't even have to talk to him. I'll be there every minute.
I'm going to finish my nap now.
No. Mr. Lewis, do you realize what a thrill it would be for Mark and Wendy to see their grandfather on television on the same show with Bob Hope and Phyllis Diller? Wow, they'd be the proudest kids in the whole neighborhood. Not for me. Not for Willie or for yourself. Do it for Mark and Wendy, Mr. Lewis.
Al cracks the window open again.
And I don't have to talk to that lunatic.
Not even hello.
Dad, what are you doing? I thought you weren't even going to discuss it again.
It's only open a half inch.
He closes it on Ben's fingers, then opens it again.
It's just a half inch, Mrs. Green.
Now at a television studio. Technicians shift a camera while high-kicking chorus girls dance in front of a giant cutout of a mime's face. Phyllis Diller steps out of the mime's mouth, wearing a brightly sequined outfit. Overhead, applause signs blink on and off.
much. I'm so delighted to have the nerve to fall into this joint.
In the control room.
Hold on a second, folks. Phyllis, you're off your mark again. I can't pick you up for your close-up if you get off your mark, baby.
Oh, come on. Nobody's tuning in to see how you're marking it. They're tuning in to see how I'm doing it. And this is the way I'm doing it, baby.
Comics.
We're running behind if you want to get to Lewis and Clark this morning.
After what I went through with them yesterday, let's run behind. All right, Phyllis, whenever you're ready, from the top of your monologue, please.
Okay. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. So delighted you had the nerve to fall into this joint. You think I'm overdressed? This is my slip.
Ben, with the stage manager.
As long as they have separate dressing rooms.
Hey, look, I don't have enough room for half the people I have now. I've got 67 performers on this show. They are one act, aren't they? Well, they get one dressing room.
I know it's one act, but it's two people, and they don't talk to each other.
Who doesn't talk to each other?
Lewis and Clark.
They don't talk to each other?
On stage they talk. Off stage they don't.
Well, let them get dressed on stage.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. My God!
He checks his watch.
Rehearsal. I don't make any more moves. Why, I don't want to blow the jokes, you know.
Backstage, Willie enters the bustling building.
Hey.
Hello there. Hi, boys. How's it going, huh? Are you all right? Hello. How are you? Hello, girls.
He eyes the sexy dancers.
Hi, hello there.
Hi.
Hey.
Willie!
Nice, you got
Willie.
A nice smile.
Where were you? You've got 10 minutes to put on your makeup and get dressed.
In my never missed an entrance
you're
in 57
please
years.
Please hurry, Uncle Willie. They're running behind.
Is he in there?
I tried. I couldn't get separate rooms.
Willie turns back to the exit.
Now, Willie, you've got 10 minutes to be on stage.
Upstairs, a moment later.
I hope you can put on your makeup and get dressed in what is now 9 minutes.
All right.
Dressing room 6, second on the right.
You're not coming in?
I've got to go check the props. No one knows what an R stick is. Go on.
What number?
6.
Number 6.
Willie starts down the hallway. Passing a door marked 5, he frowns slightly, then approaches the one next to it. He takes a deep breath and opens number 6. Inside, Al's seated at a small table, putting on makeup. An empty chair sits at his left. Willie breezes in and dumps his own makeup bag into the chair. He pulls off his gloves, puts his hat on a nearby shelf, and stuffs his scarf into his pocket. Taking off his coat, he lets it fall onto Al's back. His partner shrugs it off coolly. Willie picks up the coat and hangs it on a rod. Al fidgets uncomfortably, then goes back to carefully dabbing on makeup. Willie moves some of his partner's stuff aside on the table, sticking Al's brown-haired wig on top of Al's makeup. Then he puts his own stuff on the newly cleared space. Willie unzips his bag, takes out a blonde wig, then dumps everything else out on the tabletop. Knocking absently into Al, Willie picks a few spilled items off the floor, then drops the bag. Next, Willie goes over to a sink to wash his hands. Unable to find a paper towel, he flicks his wet fingers and gets Al wet. Then he picks up a cloth towel and dries his hands. Willie sticks the wet towel on the back of Al's chair, jarring his partner in the process. Next, he picks up a bottle of lotion. As he struggles to take the top off, he squirts lotion all over Al's face and dressing gown. His partner carefully sets down his makeup sponge, picks up a tube of red lipstick, and writes the word Putz on a nearby mirror. Willie eyes the retort, then Al, then the word Putz again. On stage, technicians prepare for the doctor sketch. As they lower a backdrop of the doctor's office, a pretty blonde woman in a nurse's uniform glances around uncertainly. The curly-haired stage manager rushes past her, jumps off the stage, and heads to the control room where the director waits.
Yeah, right here. Yeah.
Any chance of doing this today?
Yeah, we're all set there. We're just waiting for Lewis and Clark.
Why doesn't somebody call them?
We did that already, but they're locked in their dressing room.
What?
Yeah, they can't get the door open. It's locked from the inside. But they're working on it. Oh, boy. All right, let's clear the stage. Get the props.
Outside the dressing room, Ben stands with workmen.
Don't force it, Willie. Just turn the lock to the right.
Wait a minute.
To the right, idiot. The man doesn't know his left from his right.
Get back. Get back away from the door, Willie.
Right.
We're using dynamite.
What?
Get away from the door!
Are you kidding me?
The workmen hammer the hinges loose. In the control room, Ben appears on a monitor.
$800,000 for a show, and they can't get a door open.
They're out, Mr. Schaefer. We're ready to go anytime you are. We're awfully sorry.
Who the hell is that?
I'm the nephew. The agent. The agent nephew. Ready to go, Mr. Schaefer.
Look, I've got 12 more numbers to get through today. Tell them I want them to run straight through, no stopping. We'll clean up all the mistakes after run-through.
Got you. Thank you, Mr. Schaefer.
Thank you. Eddie, is Steve ready?
Steve Allen appears on another monitor.
Go.
Eight.
Please,
seven,
almighty TV
six,
God, let me get through
five,
this today.
Four, three, two,
Q, Steve.
One.
The golden age of comedy reached its zenith during a fabulous and glorious era known as vaudeville. Fanny Bryce, W.C. Fields, Eddie Cantor, Ed Wynn, Will Rogers, and a host of other greats fill its hall of fame. There are two other names that belong on this list, but they can never be listed separately. They're more than a team. They're two comic shining lights that beam as one. For Lewis without Clark would be like laughter without joy. We're privileged to present tonight, in their first public performance in over 11 years, for half a century known as the Sunshine Boys, Mr. Al Lewis and Mr. Willie Clark, in their beloved scene, The Doctor Will See You Now.
On stage, Willie, wearing a doctor's coat, stands over a patient.
Open wide in there!
Wider!
Your throat is all right, but you're going to have trouble with your stomach.
How come?
You just swallowed the stick.
Oh, that's terrible. What could I get?
Timites.
Oh, my God. Take out the stick.
Come back tomorrow. On Thursdays, I do woodwork.
The patient leaves.
Oh, nice.
The busty
nice
blonde
scene.
Comes out.
Did you want me, doctor?
Yeah, but we got business first. What's your name again?
Miss McIntosh. You know, like the apples.
I forgot the name, but the apples I remember. Look in my appointment book and see who's next.
It's Mr. Kornheiser.
Maybe you're wrong. Look in the book. It's better that way.
As she bends, he stares at her
no,
rear.
I was right.
So was I.
Oh, please, doctor. You're standing too close.
With you, it's not possible. How much do I pay you?
$85 a week.
If I pay you $90, will you give me a kiss?
Yes, doctor.
Good. Make it $150 and we'll settle tonight.
Oh, thank you, doctor. Excuse me. I think I have a chest cold.
Looks more like an epidemic to me.
Yes, doctor. Is there anything else you can think of?
I can think of it, but I'm not so sure I can do it.
Well, if I can help you, doctor, that's what the nurse is for.
She sashays out.
Oh, boy, am I glad I didn't go to law school. Aha! I hear knock, knock, knock. That must be the next patient. Come in!
Al steps in.
And enter!
He freezes in his tracks. Backstage, Ben grabs his chest.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm looking for the doctor.
Are you sick?
Are you the doctor?
Yes.
Then I'm going to be sick.
Sit down. Now for my records. What's your name?
Kornheiser.
And your first name?
Sylvia.
Sylvia Kornheiser? Isn't that a funny name for a man?
That's what my wife Herman says.
I see. Well, Sylvia, the first thing I'm going to have to do is examine you, take off your clothes.
Nothing doing.
You're not going to take off your clothes?
Not with a name like Sylvia.
Then how am I going to examine you?
That's what I came for. I came to examine you.
I think you got everything backwards.
It's possible. I dressed in a hurry this morning.
I'm here to examine you. I'm the doctor.
And I'm here to examine you. I'm the tax collector.
I'll be a monkey's uncle.
We'll discuss your dependents later.
I'm a busy man. If you want to see me, you got to make an appointment with my nurse.
I did. I'm seeing her Friday night for dinner.
Don't fool around with my nurse. Don't fool around with my nurse. She's a nice girl. She's a Virginian.
A what?
A Virginian. That's where she's from.
Well, she ain't going back, I'll tell you that. I got some questions to ask.
If you want to see me, you got to be a patient.
But I'm not sick.
Don't worry, we'll find something.
All right, you examine me and I'll examine you. The first question is, how much money did you make last year?
Last year, made...
He mouths an amount.
I didn't hear that.
Ah, hard of hearing. I knew we'd find something. My turn. Now, is your father living or deceased?
Both.
What do you mean, both?
First he was living, now he's deceased.
What did your father die from?
My mother.
Willie takes out a flashlight.
What are you doing?
I'm examining your lower intestine.
Then why do you look in the ear?
If I got a choice of two places to look, I'll take this one.
Now a giant syringe.
All right, roll up your sleeve.
What are you going to do with that?
I need a sample of your blood.
I haven't got that many samples.
Give me what you can, the rest you can owe me. Sit down, Sylvia, and cross your legs.
He taps Al's knee with a hammer.
Oh, tell me, does it hurt you when you get hit with a hammer?
Certainly.
Good. Try not to get hit with a hammer. You see this bottle?
Yes.
You know what you're supposed to do in this bottle?
I think so.
You think so or you know so? If you're not sure, let me know. The girl doesn't come in to clean today.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to go in this bottle.
I haven't got time. I got to go over your books.
The hell you will.
If I don't go over your books, the government will come in here and go over your books.
Don't they have a place in Washington?
Yes, but they got to go where the books are.
The whole government?
No, just the Treasury Department.
Oh, Doctor, Dr. Klockenmeyer.
I told you not to bust in here.
I'm sorry. Mrs. Kugelman is on the phone. She wants you to rush right over and deliver her baby.
I'm busy now. I'll mail it to her in the morning.
Yes, Doctor.
She struts out, swishing her tiny skirt.
Where did you find a couple of nurses like that?
She was standing on 43rd and 44th Street. Sit down, I want to examine your tongue. Ah, you got a white coat on there.
What did you expect, a gray sports jacket?
Say, just as I thought. You got a rotten appendix, I'm going to have to take out your tonsils.
Why my tonsils?
From here, I can't reach your appendix.
Never mind my tonsils. What about your taxes?
My what?
Your taxes. It's time to pay your taxes to the Treasury.
He spits.
I'm warning you. Cut that out.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about. It's time to pay the taxes to the Treasury. You're speaking with the spinning again.
I read the right line, didn't I? I can't help it if it comes out juicy.
Stop squeezing the juice. It won't come out that way.
In the control room.
What does it say that? I haven't got that. Mr. Clark, I don't have those last lines in my script.
It's not in the script. It's in his mouth.
He stopped. I didn't stop. He's the one who stopped.
I stopped because he spit. He's purposely spitting on the T's.
I didn't spit on purpose. I spit on accident. It's not possible to say T's without spitting a little.
Then don't say T's. Say L's or W's.
But there's no L's or W's in taxes.
He did it again. Did you see that? He sneaked an extra one in. Did you see it?
Uncle Willie, Mr. Lewis, why don't we finish the rehearsal and discuss this later?
Do you mind? I'll direct this show. Mr. Lewis, why don't we finish the rehearsal and discuss this later?
It's all right with me.
I'm not going to stand here and get a shower in my face. Either he says a softer T or I do the show with an umbrella.
Oh, I'm not getting enough money for this. Gentlemen.
Okay. Gentlemen, with all due respect, we have to go on. I have 12 more scenes to rehearse today. I cannot spend any time on personal squabbles. Please go on.
Say something to him.
Ben takes the mic.
Can we please go on?
All right, I'll go on, but I'm moving to a safer spot.
Just a second, we have to go back.
Why don't we just get out a couple of lines?
Let's pick it up on, I hope you don't have what Mr. Melnick had.
What? I hope you don't have what Mr. Melnick has. Melnick.
Oh, Melnick. Right. All right. Here. You want to pick it up on Melnick?
Melnick, right.
Willie goes over to a skeleton.
All right, Mr. Clark, whenever you're ready.
I hope you don't have what Mr. Melnick had.
What did Mr. Melnick have?
Ask him yourself. He's standing right here.
That's Mr. Melnick.
It could be Mrs. Melnick. Without high heels, I can't tell.
If he's dead, why do you leave him standing in your room?
He's still got one more appointment with me.
You know what you are? You're a quack.
He starts poking.
A quack. Do you know what a quack is?
Quack is a bastard who pokes me with his finger. He's doing it on purpose. First the spitting, then the poking. I know his routine already.
Where? What does it say that? Where? Who's got that in their script?
I didn't poke him. A little tap. A little tiny tap. It wouldn't hurt a baby.
Maybe a baby elephant. I'm not even dry in the face. He's starting with the finger.
I better get down there.
Excuse me. I'm sorry we're holding up the rehearsal, but we have a serious problem on our hands. The man I'm working with is a lunatic.
I'm a lunatic.
The stage manager tries to restrain Willie. Ben rushes on stage.
I'm going to tell you something now I never told you before in my entire life. I hate your guts.
We're holding up the whole
rehearsal. You told it to me on Monday.
Remember it if I don't see you next Monday.
We're holding up the entire rehearsal.
Look, what's the point of going on with the show? Everything I do is wrong. He's persecuting me. For 11 years, he's been waiting to get back at me, only I'm not going to give him the chance.
I knew it. I knew it. He's purposely doing it. He set me up for 11 years just to walk out on me.
I didn't want to do it in the first place.
Liar! Liar! Daughter begged me on the phone.
We need the stage.
She begged me on the
stage. Please take him outside. Can we talk about it? Can you go outside and do this?
You can do it in Canada for all I know. Why you?
The man is a lunatic.
Get him a glass of water. He's on himself.
They're escorted off stage.
I don't need you. I don't need you then, and I don't need you today. You are nothing when I found you.
Willie rushes up the stairs toward the dressing room with Ben trailing behind.
His career is over, but not mine. Maybe he's finished, but not me. You hear? Not me.
Willie stops and grabs his chest. He collapses. Willie and Ben tumble down the short flight of stairs as others approach. Ben kneels over his uncle.
All right, Willie. Take it easy. Don't move. Get a doctor quick.
I don't want a doctor. I don't need a doctor. Don't trust him.
Don't talk. He'll be all right.
Somebody get a blanket, please.
The stage manager pushes his way in.
Please, come on. Give the guy some room, would you? Please,
don't tell Al.
A man in a robe and a Carmen Miranda headdress rushes over with a glass of water.
Well, damn, Ben. I don't want to give him the satisfaction.
Nothing to tell. You're going to be all right. You're going to be fine.
Ben drapes a blanket over him.
Frumpies.
What?
That's the name of the potato chips. Frumpies. I remembered, Ben. You see, I told you I remembered.
Ben tenderly removes Willie's wig and strokes his hair. Later, Doris leads her father down a hospital corridor. Up ahead, Ben sits with his wife.
I knew Monday. I saw it coming. I should have stopped it on Monday.
How is he?
They're not sure yet, but they don't think it's too bad.
Listen, I know him. He's strong. Anyone who can get in front of an audience for 57 years has to be strong.
It's nice of you to come, Mr. Lewis. I appreciate it.
Don't tell him I was here. I don't want to upset him anymore.
I understand.
A doctor approaches.
Mr. Clark?
Oh, excuse me.
Yes, sir?
Mr. Lewis, I'm Ben's wife, Helen.
What?
This is Ben's wife, Dad, Helen. How do you do? I'm Doris.
Hello, Doris.
This is my daughter, Doris.
Yes, I know.
He's okay. They don't think he's in any danger.
But he's okay.
Yes. They figure a couple of weeks in the hospital they'll have to see.
But he's okay.
Yes. They'll keep him in intensive care until tomorrow just as a precaution. He can't have any visitors, so there's no point in anyone hanging around.
But they said he's all right.
Ben's just told you, Dad. He's all right.
I know it's been a long day for you too, Mr. Lewis. Why don't you go home and get some rest, and I'll call you tomorrow.
Listen, if you don't mind, I'd like to sit here for a while. It would make me feel better.
Well, sure, I understand. I'll call you tomorrow, sweetie.
He walks out with his
Dr.
wife.
Kingsby, call Dr. Faraday and X-ray 1.
Al sits on a bench.
Dr. Kingsby, call Dr. Faraday and X-ray 1.
You want some coffee?
The man yells at me on the stage and gets a million laughs. He yells at me off the stage, gets a heart attack.
Doris pats her father on the shoulder, then sits beside him. Now, a delivery boy grips a large bouquet of flowers outside the door to Willie's apartment. A middle-aged black nurse answers the door.
Clark?
Shh, I'll take them. Thank you.
He holds out his hand.
I'm a nurse, I don't tip.
She shuts the door on him. Inside, Willie lies in bed. The nurse goes into the kitchen to fill a pitcher. Water sputters out of the faucet.
Hey, I hear that. Don't you think I hear that?
I'm sorry.
Call the Spanish kid. Tell him they'll get somebody. Who knocked?
More flowers. No card.
They stink up the room. What happened to my candy? Did you eat up all my candy?
You candied it anyway.
Because I'm not quick enough. You got the fastest fingers on the west side. When you're through, I wish you'd eat the flowers, too.
If I was you, I'd go back to sleep.
And if I was you, I'd be in that new musical. When you're through gardening,
Maybe you'll find time to take my pulse.
I took it. It's a little better today.
When did you take my pulse?
When you were sleeping.
Everybody's pulse is better when you're sleeping. You take a patient's pulse when they're up. $40 a day and she takes a sleeping pulse.
Did you have a nice nap?
It was a nap, nothing special. How about a little pinochle, 2 cents a point?
I don't gamble.
If you win, I'll let you eat the cards.
Funny, really funny, Mr. Clark. Soon as I get home, I'm going to bust out laughing.
If they send me any more candy, you'll bust out a lot sooner.
You've been trying to get my goat for a week now, haven't you?
As she bends over, he tries to pinch her.
By now.
You do, and I'll treat you for a concussion.
I was just kidding. Can't you take a joke?
I can take anything from you because I have a wonderful sense of humor.
If you're nice, as good as your sense of humor, I won't make it to Tuesday.
Now Ben and his wife at a nursing home.
By the summer, we hope to have 2 tennis courts.
Tennis courts?
You'd be surprised how active some of our people still are, Mrs. Clark. Well, you've seen the dining room. I think that takes in just about everything. As I said before, if your uncle would like to come out and have a look around, I'd be more than pleased to arrange it. You know, I'm sure he must have lots of old friends out here.
I'm sure. We'll let you know, Mr. Parenti.
Good.
Helen?
When do you think that might be?
As soon as we let my uncle know about it. We haven't discussed it with him yet. Thank you.
Goodbye.
The Clarks shake his hand, then step outside.
I was surprised. I thought it'd be depressing. It wasn't at all, was it? And the grounds are lovely, aren't they?
Ben nods as they approach their car.
I really think he might like it, Ben. I really do. I mean, if he gives it a chance, I think he may like it, don't you? What are you going to tell him?
He drives off, passing a sign that reads, Actors Fund Home. Back at the apartment, the nurse snoozes in a chair, holding a half-eaten box of chocolates in her lap. Nearby, Willie tosses cotton balls into the box from his bed. Reaching into a drugstore bag, he takes out a handful of cotton balls and chucks them at her head. The nurse continues to sleep soundly. Frustrated, he picks up a newspaper and hurls it at her. She jerks awake.
What'd you do that for?
You owe me $40.
For what?
That's what you get for watching me sleep. Why shouldn't I get the same money?
Woke up a little grouchy today, didn't we?
We did. When did you get sick? What's this? What? Don't fluff up the pillows. It takes me the whole night to get them the way I like them, and then you fluff them the hell up.
Keep it up. You just keep it up, Mr. Clark, and we're going to have ourselves another heart attack.
Again, my partner?
And stop throwing your papers on the floor. I get paid for nursing, not spending.
Tell me something. How old is a woman like you?
It's none of your business.
I'm not asking for business.
54.
You married?
My husband passed away 4 years ago.
Oh. You were the nurse?
No, I was not the nurse.
Hey, don't make up the bed. I'm still sleeping in it. Don't make
she
up
She straightens
a bed
the covers.
Still in it.
Ben enters.
Hey, Uncle Willie. Hi, Odessa. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Ben.
You look terrific. You got my variety? Yeah, and about 150 Get Well cards from people all over the country. Telegrams from Milton Berle, Lucille Ball, Bob Hope, every comic and show business.
What about a commercial? Did you speak to the Alka-Seltzer people?
Talk about that later.
I'm going to lunch. If he needs his pill, it's on the bureau. And don't get up and go to the bathroom. Use the you-know-what.
And if not, I'll go you-know-where.
Have a good lunch.
Thank you.
She's really a terrific nurse.
Oh, boy. Viney Eisenstein died.
Who?
Viney Eisenstein. Remember the dance team Ramona and Rodriguez? Viney Eisenstein was Rodriguez.
Uh-huh. Uncle Willie, could you put down the variety?
Did you bring me a cigar?
A cigar? Don't you realize you just had a heart attack?
Doesn't have to be a big one.
Uncle Willie, you heard the doctor. You know you can't have any more cigars? No more corned beef sandwiches, no more temper tantrums. Your heart's just not going to take it.
This is the good news you rushed up with. For this, you could have skipped the Wednesday.
I talked to the doctor again this morning, and I'm going to have to be very frank and honest with you, Willie. You've got to retire. Give it up. Show business is out.
Until when?
Until ever. You were lucky this time, but you can't go running around New York anymore looking for jobs. Your health won't take it.
I'll think it over.
There's nothing to think over. You can't work anymore. Can't you understand that?
You decide for Ben Clark, I'll decide for Willie Clark.
No, I'll decide for Willie Clark. I'm your only living relative, and I'm responsible for your welfare. You can't live here anymore, Willie. Not alone. And I can't afford to keep this nurse on permanently. Right now, she's making more than I am. Anyway, she already gave me a notice. She's leaving next week. She's going to Buffalo to work for some wealthy family.
Maybe she'll take me. I always did well in Buffalo.
We have to face the facts, Willie. We have to do something, and we have to do it quickly.
I can't think about it today. I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap.
Want to hear my suggestion?
Don't you see me napping?
I'd like you to move in with me and Helen and the kids. We have that small spare room in the back, and I think you'd be very comfortable. Uncle Willie, did you hear what I said?
Forget it.
Why?
I don't like your kids. They're too noisy. The little one hit me in the head with a baseball bat.
And I've also seen you talk to them hours on end about vaudeville and had the time of your life.
And if I stopped talking, they would hit me with the bat. No offense, but I'm not moving in with your children. Get rid of them, then we'll talk.
It's because Al Lewis lives with his family, isn't it? You're just trying to prove some stupid point about being independent.
Make a second suggestion.
All right. Now, don't jump when I say this, because it's not as bad as it sounds.
Say it.
There's the actor's home in New Jersey.
It's as bad as it sounds.
You're wrong. Helen and I saw the place. They showed us all around. I couldn't believe how beautiful it was.
You went out there? You didn't even have the decency to wait until I turned down living with you and your rotten kids?
I just went out to investigate. There are no commitments.
The old actor's home. The first booking you got me in 10 years.
It's on a lake. It's got 25 wooded acres. They put on shows for themselves every Friday and Saturday night. I mean, it's all old actors. What could be better for you?
New Jersey. I hate New Jersey. I'm sorry they ever finished the George Washington Bridge.
I promise you, if you ever spend one day there, you're not happy, you can come back and move in with me.
That's my choice. The baseball bat or New Jersey?
All right. I feel a lot better about everything.
What about you?
What do you mean, what about me?
Does this mean that you won't come up to see me anymore?
Certainly I'll come to see you. As often as I can.
He puts his hand on Willie's arm.
Uncle Willie, did you think I wouldn't come to visit you anymore?
Well, you know, people don't go out to New Jersey unless they have to.
I'll be there every Wednesday. With variety. I'll even bring Helen and the kids.
Don't bring the kids. What do you think I'm moving out there for?
You know, this is the first moment since I know you that you've treated me like a nephew, not as an agent. It's like a whole new relationship.
I hope it works out a lot better than the last one.
Willie shifts his gaze. Ben sits back, removing his hand.
Now, there's just one other thing I'd like you to do for me.
What?
But you have to promise me you won't get excited.
What is it, for God's sake?
Al Lewis wants to come up and see you.
Ben, if you wanted to kill me, you could have brought the cigars.
He's been heartsick ever since this happened.
Now, what do you think I've been? What is this, the mumps?
He hasn't slept a night since you were in the hospital. Who do you think's been sending all this candy and flowers every day? He doesn't sign it because he knows if he did, you'd throw them out.
To his flowers? Throw them out?
He just wants to come up and say hello.
Hello, huh?
That's all.
And if he pokes me in the chest with his finger, I'll drop dead. That's murder, you know.
Uncle Willie, I'm asking you as a personal favor. Even if you never spoke to him again, just let him come up and say hello. Please, for me, Uncle Willie.
All right, if he wants to come up, I won't stop him. But I can't promise a hello. I may be sleepy.
I could kiss you!
Please, I'm sick enough.
Ben kisses his cheek.
Where are you going?
Gotta make a call.
Who are you calling?
Al Lewis.
Al Lewis, on my phone? It's got to cost me 60 cents for him to come up to say hello?
It's not going to cost you 60 cents. He's down in the lobby now.
Now? Now? So why do you bother asking me?
Yes.
Downstairs.
Right. Sure. Mr. Lewis? Mr. Lewis?
Yes, sir. What? What is it?
The man from Mr. Clark's room. He called down to say if you want to go upstairs to see Mr. Clark now in his room, that you can go upstairs right now.
Al looks to Doris in confusion.
What did he say?
Back upstairs.
Where is he? Maybe he got off at the wrong floor.
He opens the door, checks the hall, then turns back.
What are you doing? You're not supposed to get out of bed.
Ben tries to hold Willie back.
Willie, please.
I'm not going to give him the satisfaction of seeing me lay in bed like a sick person. I'm going to sit in my chair and look at Willie and him.
Uncle Willie.
Willie staggers over to a chair and sits.
I'm begging you. You're not supposed to get out of bed for anything.
Lewis coming to apologize to Clark is not anything. To me, this is worth another heart attack. Go to the closet and get my coat. Get my coat, Ben.
All right. All right.
As he goes to the closet, Willie starts to move the TV.
I'll do it. I'll do it. Okay. I'll do it.
All right. Move the chair.
I'll get the chair.
Move the chair all the way back.
I'll get it.
I want that son of a bitch to have a long walk.
Walk slowly, will you?
Willie puts on a suit jacket.
He's not coming to apologize. He's coming to say hello.
He doesn't apologize for spite. I'll drop dead in the chair. Push the chair back all the way and get some pillows and put the pillows on the chair. I want to look down on that.
This is the last time. I'm never butting into your lives again.
He helps Willie into the chair.
But promise me you'll be decent to Al Lewis.
I'll be wonderful to him. In my will, I'll leave him you. I can't wait for him to apologize, Ben, for 11 years. 11 years I waited for this minute. And
I'll get it.
Stay where you are. This is my line. Enter!
Ben, clutching his chest, goes to the door. Willie pretends to be asleep. Across the room, Al stands in the hall alone, his hat in his hands.
Oh, he's sleeping. I could come back later.
No, he's just dozing. Come on in. Can I take your hat?
Oh, no. I'd like to hold on to something, if you don't mind.
Willie opens one eye, then quickly shuts it.
Uncle Willie, there's someone here to see you. Look who's here to see you, Willie.
I don't have my glasses. Who is it?
It's me, Willie. Al.
Al who?
Al Lewis.
Al Lewis. Is that you? You're so far away, Al.
Al takes a couple of steps.
Walk all the way over here. All the way, Al. Come walk over here.
Al goes to him. As he bends toward him, Willie leans close and eyes his partner.
Oh, that Al Lewis.
I don't want to disturb you, Willie, at you. Oh, look at all the beautiful flowers.
I'm throwing them out. They smell up the room. People send them to me with boxes of cheap candy.
They mean well. I don't want to take up your time, Willie. I just came to say hello, so hello and goodbye, Willie.
Wait a minute, what's your hurry? Wait a minute, you got a few more minutes before my next nap. Sit down and talk for a while.
Sure, it's okay.
Please stay, Mr. Lewis. I've got to go find a nurse anyway.
He brings a chair over.
I'll be back in a few minutes.
Al sits across from Willie.
Good to see you, Mr. Lewis. It's good to see the both of you like this.
Ben kisses Willie on the cheek, then heads out.
Goodbye. Nice boy. So, You got everything you need here? Books, magazines?
Oh, I got plenty to do. I got all my fan mail to answer.
You get fan mail?
Don't you?
I don't even get jury duty. Listen, is it all right for you to talk like this?
I'm not talking. You're the one who's talking. Why, is there something special you wanted to talk about?
Like what?
What do I know? How do I know what's on your mind? Do I know why you can't sleep at night?
Who said I don't sleep at night? I sleep beautifully.
Funny. To me, you look tired. A little troubled. Like a bison with something on their conscience. What do I know?
I got nothing on my conscience.
Are you sure you looked good?
I got nothing on my conscience. I'm just sorry you got sick.
Thank you. I accept your apology.
What apology? Who apologized?
You don't apologize for making me sick?
I never made you sick. You made you sick. You yelled and screamed and carried on like a lunatic until you got yourself sick. And for that, I'm sorry.
Then why do you come here with your hat in your hand?
It's a $35 hat. What did you want me to do, fold it in my pocket?
And why did you send me the candy and the flowers?
Because you had something on your conscience, and that's why you couldn't sleep at night. And that's why you come here with your hat in your hand to apologize. Only this time I'm not going to accept your apology. How do you like that?
For this, I paid $1 toll on the bridge.
I'll pay for it. Because I'm happy now, I got what I want.
What did you get? You got no apology from me, which you didn't accept.
I don't want to discuss it anymore. I just had a heart attack.
You know something, Willie? I don't think we get along too good.
Well, everybody has their ups and downs.
In 43 years, we had maybe one ups. To tell you the truth, I can't take the downs anymore.
To be honest with you, for the first time, I feel a little tired myself.
So what are you going to do now?
Well, my nephew made me two very good offers, one in the city and one out of town. I wouldn't have to work too hard, just do a show on Saturday nights.
Is that so? Which one are you going to take?
I decided the one out of town. I always liked the road, you know that.
Isn't that wonderful?
And how about you?
Oh, wonderful news. My daughter is having another baby. They're going to need my room, and I don't want to be a burden to them. So we talked it over, and I decided I'd move into the actor's home in New Brunswick.
Willie's mouth hangs open. His eyes freeze.
Oh, my God. I got the finger again.
Willie, are you all right? What is it, chest pains?
Not yet, but I'm expecting.
Can I get you anything? Should I call the doctor?
He's all the way uptown.
So why did you get sick downtown?
Was that joke from our act?
Who knows? I can't tell the difference between our act and us anymore.
Willie shakes his head.
Oh, you're a funny man, Al. A pain in the ass, but a funny man.
You know what your trouble was, Willie? You always took the jokes too seriously. They were just jokes. We did comedy on the stage for 43 years. I don't think you enjoyed it once.
If I was there to enjoy it, I would buy a ticket.
Maybe now you'll start enjoying it. If you're not too busy, maybe you'll come over and visit me someday at the Actors' Home.
You can count on it.
Maybe you'd like to rest and I'll take a nap. Hmm?
Yeah, I think so.
Come on.
Al helps him up. Willie hobbles back to bed.
There you are. I'm sure. Right there. Let's get comfortable. You know, I feel a lot better now that I've talked to you.
Yeah, keep talking. I'll fall asleep.
What's new in variety?
Oh, Barney Eisenstein died.
Go on. Barney Eisenstein, the house doctor at the palace.
That was Sam Heseltine. Barney Eisenstein was Ramona and Rodriguez.
No. Jackie Aronson was Ramona and Rodriguez. Barney Eisenstein was the house doctor at the palace. Sam Heseltine was Sophie Tucker's agent.
Don't argue with me. I'm sick.
I know, but why should I get sick, too?
Leave me alone.
Bernie Eisenstein was the house doctor when the first time we played with Sophie Tucker, and that's when we met Sam Heseltine.
My God.
And Jackie Aronson wasn't Rodriguez yet. He was DeMarco and Lopez. And Lopez died, DeMarco went into real estate, so Jackie became Rodriguez.
Who the hell cares?
And I'll never forget this.
Forget it!
Remember Big Bill McCaffrey? The Irishman who owned the Adams Theater in Pittsburgh and the Baltimore and Syracuse always wore a 2-pound diamond ring. He said some very funny things. Would you like to hear them?
Yeah?
Well, here's what he said. You remember Dunlap and Rosita? Well, he used to go around with Rosita. You know, and Rosita wore a little black velvet ribbon on her neck. And she tied it very tight. Because she was skinny, she wanted her cheeks to puff out. See? But she tied it so tight it affected her hearing. She couldn't hear the music.
As we pull farther and farther back from the two old vaudevillians, the light from the setting sun darkens Willie's apartment. The lights dim until the screen fades to black. Credits roll. Cast: Walter Matthau as Willie Clark, George Burns as Al Lewis, Richard Benjamin as Ben Clark, Lee Meredith as Nurse in Sketch, Carol Arthur as Doris, Rosetta Lenoir as Nurse, F. Murray Abraham as Mechanic, Howard Hessman as Commercial Director, Jim Crana as TV Director, Ron Rifkin as TV Floor Manager, Jennifer Lee as Helen, Fritz Feld as Man at Audition, Jack Bernardi as Man at Audition, Garn Stevens as Stage Manager, Santos Morales as Desk Clerk, Archie Hahn as Assistant at Audition, Sid Gould as Patient, and others.